Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke chapter 24 in your Schofield Bible, page 1111. We'll be reading responsively verses 13 through 20. Luke 24, verses 13 through 20, page 1111. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day, for wonderful fellowship with these, our friends, my people, these, the members of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And thank you for our preacher. How wonderful it is to be assured when we come here that we hear from thee through the man of God. Now we pray that you'd settle our hearts and our minds and give us attentive minds and hearts. Help us to listen on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now it is 19 minutes until 12 according to the clock up there. I want to set you at ease and let you know that what time we'll be out. By 1:15, I promise you I'll be through preaching this morning. There will be four of us still here, but I promise you this morning that by 10 minutes after 12 or sooner, I'll be finished. I promise you that we'll dismiss the service, as we always do, not 1 minute later than 12:30, and maybe even earlier. But I know it's late, so I want you to forget the time, because if you fret about it, we won't get out before 12:10, and if you don't fret out about it, we won't get out before 12:10. I'll be finished by 12:10. I may even give you a minute or two back, but I promise you I'll be finished by 12:10. I'm going to bring you a little devotional kind of message this morning, as I usually do on the Lord's Supper Day. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the ones to whom Jesus appeared the most in his resurrection body. The ones to whom Jesus appeared the most in his resurrection body. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the proclaiming of thy blessed book. What a wonderful privilege, and what a wonderful book, and what a wonderful story we're going to share today. And what a wonderful Savior makes it all possible. So bless us now as we think on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me very carefully. You will not be here long, so listen to every word. Our Lord was raised from the dead. His time was limited between the moment of resurrection and the moment of his ascension. He was only here for a little while. He had a whole world of people here to whom he could have appeared. He had kings and queens and princes and princesses to whom he could have appeared. He had disciples and preachers and missionaries and religious leaders to whom he could have appeared. He could not appear to everybody. He had to choose carefully those to whom he would appear between the hour of his resurrection and the hour of his ascension. It is interesting to notice to whom he did appear. Of course, he appeared to Peter, whom he loved, and who was backslidden. Very interesting. Our Lord chose to spend much of His resurrection time, at that time when His resurrection body was on earth, between His resurrection and His ascension. He chose to spend the time of all the 12 apostles. He spent more time with Peter. Wait a minute. Peter was the one who denied Him. Peter was the one who cursed and swore. Peter was the one who was backslidden. Oh, yes. Jesus is more interested in the one who's away than He is the one who's here. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates and the fold. And the, as you know the story, the shepherd left the 99, and the Bible says in the wilderness, went out and sought the one. So it's not unusual, I think, that Jesus would come in His resurrection body and appear to Simon Peter. But that isn't all. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, who missed Him deeply. But note to whom He gave most time in His resurrection body. To whom will He give most of the time? To the beloved John, who leaned on His breast? No. To Peter, who was one of the beloved three inner circle? No. To the 12? No. To His mother? The truth is, there's not one single record that He even appeared to His mother in His resurrection body. Now, to whom will Jesus give more time than anybody else? Two men. Not apostles. Not prominent. Just little known people in the pew. Just people who had not walked with Him a great deal. Not the beloved John. Not Peter, James, or John of the inner circle. Not the 12. Two ordinary, common church members. Pew fillers, if you please. Now, why did He appear to them? All right, here's the reason. Now follow me carefully. Jesus appeared to these two men because here were two men who had their hopes dashed. Their future, their plans were all dashed. And Jesus decided that He was going to spend more time with them than anybody else. Now, the same thing is true this morning. There are people in this room this morning who had plans that have been crumbled. There are people in this room this morning who have had hopes that are dashed. Our Lord comes and says, that's the one with whom I'm going to spend most of my time. I'll spend some time with Peter because he's a backslider. I'll appear to 500 people just briefly. And I'll even go to the upper room for a while and be with those in the upper room. And I'll go next Sunday to church also. But He said that the people with whom I'll spend the most time are two common, ordinary people who've had their hopes and their dreams crumbled. You were so happy. Remember? The doctor said you were expecting. And you remember the time you came home and you shared that with your husband and you began to dream. You got a little book out and you started writing that, trying to figure out what names you're going to name. Let me make a suggestion. Jack is a good name for a boy. If it's a girl, Jackie is a good name. Or Jacqueline. A Jacqueline would be good. But you started picking out names. And those were blessed, wonderful days. You remember the bassinet. And remember the shower. And then came the time of travail. And then a little ether, maybe. And then a cry. And then you were rolled into the room there in the hospital. And your husband came. And he tried to say thank you. But how do you say thank you for a gift like that? He gave you a kiss of gratitude, not on the mouth, because you had ether on your mouth, it had passed out. Or, if I know husbands, it had passed away. But you were there, and you were trying to say thank you to your wife, and your husband was trying to say thank you, when all of a sudden there was a knock on the door. And you looked at the door, and there stood a nurse. And she had a little bundle in her arms, like that. And the nurse said, "You got company." And he said, "Bring him or her." It's always one of the two. They may change later, but it may become an it later on. But But remember, and the nurse brought and pulled the little sheet back. Ugly. Good night. Ugly. Looked like a peach been left out in the summer sun too long after it fell off the tree. And then you had dreams. Remember? You pictured the first word. Of course, all of us know what that first word is. What is it? Dada. It always is the first word. Always is. You had dreams about the first step. And there was the first day in school to which you had looked. And there were trips to the zoo. And baseball, Little League baseball. And school night. Parents' night at school. And all of a sudden, something went wrong. Came time to walk, and the child didn't walk right, didn't have good balance. Maybe a strange look in his little eyes. And you got concerned. And you went to the doctor. They took test after test after test, and finally, the doctor said, your baby or your child will never be normal. Maybe your child has leukemia. Maybe your child has muscular dystrophy. Maybe your child has some kind of mental retardation. But your child will never be normal. Maybe your child will never walk a normal step. And all of a sudden, all the hopes were dashed. As a pastor of this church for 30 years, I've stood beside people by the thousands who had all the dreams and hopes of all parents, and all of a sudden, come crumbling down, every air castle seemed to crumble at the same time. Your hopes were dashed. And the Savior said, I'm going to give special attention to her. I'm going to give special attention to him. Jesus in his resurrection body had a whole world of people. And he had thousands of believers. And he had hundreds of close followers. And he had 12 apostles. But Jesus said, while I'm on earth for these few days, I'm going to give most time, more than anybody else, to people who have their hopes and their dreams dashed. You owned a bride doll. Remember? And you played bride and groom. Remember? And you had house, played house, and you had got a little cabinet and a little stove and a little refrigerator and furniture for the house, and you played house. You had your dreams. You dreamed of a wedding day. You dreamed of a honeymoon. You dreamed of the wedding dress. You dreamed of a little cottage. You dreamed of a child, children of your own. You dreamed of being a mama. You dreamed of being a wife. And then one day, you had to accept it. You'll never marry. One day you had to face it. Marriage is not what God wanted for me. Let me tell you something. Some of the dearest, finest, happiest people I know in this world today are days in this, by people in this church who've had to face this one day. Thank God for the Maxine Jeffries. Thank God for those. And by the way, it isn't easy to pass by the nursery and realize you'll never have a baby there. It isn't easy never to have anybody to sit across the table from you that you call a husband. It's not easy. But the day came when you had to face it. I'll never be a wife. I'll never be a mother. And all the dreams of childhood and adolescence and young life were dashed and hope were gone. And Jesus said, I'll give you special attention because your hopes are dashed. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. She was sad, but her hopes were not dashed. Her dreams had not crumbled. Her air castles had not been fallen. But he appeared to Peter, who was backslidden, and he appeared to the disciples. But he said, I'm going to spend most of my time with those whose dreams are dashed. You felt called to preach. You remember it? You family came to college. You and your wife had a pretty tough time, but you were happy because it was God's will that you be a preacher. And you found a little attic apartment somewhere, and your wife fellowship with the rats while you were in school, and then with the rat when you came home. But it wasn't easy. But you were happy. This is God's will for our lives. And by the way, it may not ever be easy, but you're always happy if you realize this is what God wants me to do. You were so happy. And there was college. And dreams of a pulpit. And dreams of your own parsonage. And dreams of the revivals you'd preach and the weddings that you would perform and the funerals that you would conduct. They're all the dreams that every young preacher has. I can recall 40-some-odd years ago when I dreamed of preaching to great crowds and dreamed of conducting weddings and funerals and counseling with people and heading a church and being a pastor of a New Testament church. And you had all those dreams, all of them. And you came home one night. There was a note on the table from your wife. I've gone home to mother. I can't be a preacher's wife. I can't take this anymore. I wish you could sit with me in my office with a young man who's been in college for 4 or 5 years, who's worked, gone to school at 7 o'clock in the morning and stayed till 1 and rushed to work and worked till the wee hours of the morning and come home and tried to at least see his wife and kids for a while and get some rest and then up in the morning to go off to school and cries as he goes because he wants to be with his family for a while. I wish you could see him come to my office and say, "Preacher, my wife is gone. And preacher, she says she'll never be a preacher's wife." And I wish you could sit beside him. All of a sudden, watch those dreams as they crumble to the ground. I want to say, it's not easy to have your hopes dashed, but hallelujah, Jesus pays special attention to those. He said, "There's a sad Magdalene, I'll go to her for a while, but not the most. There's a backslidden apostle, I'll go to him for a while, but not the most. There's a lonely group of apostles, I'll go to them for a while, but not the most. The ones I'm going to spend most of my time with is those two men that whose hopes are dashed, whose dreams and air castles have crumbled to the ground. I don't know what your dreams were that have crumbled, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll guarantee you you're a special care person of the Savior today. Our Savior comes to you this morning and He says, you've had your dreams dashed, you've had your hopes dashed. And the Savior said, I'd like to spend extra time with you, give special attention to you. Tell me anybody in the Bible that we know of except one or two people with whom Jesus ate. And tell me anybody's house in which He ate except Mary and Lazarus and Martha of Bethany, except these two fellows right here. And the only house in which He ate in this resurrection body were the house of these two fellows right here. Let me tell you where Jesus is this morning in Hammond. Jesus isn't in a hospital room with a little couple whose baby will never be normal. Jesus is in that room this morning, that bedroom, with the lady who lost a young husband. Jesus this morning is with that young man who had dreams of pastoring a church. He'll never pastor a church. His chances are gone. His hopes are dashed. It's all over. But Jesus comes and says, I want to give you special attention. You thought you were happily married, didn't you? You thought everything was going well. You had no suspicion there was somebody else. You thought that your home was as happy as could be. You had a little cottage and you had a new car, just a tiny thing, but it was new. And you had a little two-bedroom cottage and one bath. And it was not the prettiest thing in the world, but it was yours. And it was a place you called home. And you had a little child or two, and you were so happy with a couple of children and your husband. And then one day, he left. He never came back, did he? No, he didn't, but Jesus moved in. I wish you could pastor a church for a while. I wish you could sit in the study. The little lady looks at you and said, Brother Hiles, I have 4 children. You think there's any chance I'll ever get married? I hate to say this to you ladies, but I have not seen any ads in the Hammond in the Gary Post Tribune lately. I've not seen any ads in the paper lately that said wanted a wife with 4 kids. I wish I had them. I'd like to, but no. Your hopes of having anybody with you, family night, parents, teachers night, All gone now. Your hopes of having anybody with you to rear the children, all gone now. And all of a sudden you've got to find a job and you've got to make ends meet and you've got to be a mama and a daddy. And all of a sudden the dreams and hopes and plans and air castles have all crumbled. But Jesus pays special attention to you this morning. He comes to those little ladies, oh, that army of little ladies, this morning in this room, and there are dozens and scores and maybe 200 or 300 of them who thought and had dreams of a happy home and dreams of a happy marriage and dreams of and plans of weddings for the young people and graduations and all of that. And all those dreams have suddenly been shattered on the pavement of Providence. Savior comes up and down these aisles this morning, and he comes to everybody and says, I love you. But he stops a little bit to those that have special burdens and says, I love you in a special way. But he stops before those of you whose dreams and plans have been totally dashed and they can never be fulfilled. And he says to you, I want to give you extra time. You had plans and dreams, didn't you? Then temptation came. And then, in a moment of weakness, you yielded to that temptation, didn't you? Your hopes were ruined. And I want to say this morning. I said this in my Sunday school class. Please listen to me carefully. If you're going to drive a nail in my coffin, be sure you get the right nail. Now listen carefully. You know these precious people in this room this morning whose lives have been wrecked by sin, you know they hurt as much as those who hurt whose lives are wrecked because God's testing them.
Jesus was not only concerned, He wasn't concerned as why you hurt, He was concerned because you hurt.
There are people all over this room this morning. You had some great plans one day, and it wasn't providence that happened, and it wasn't some act of God, and it wasn't some act of somebody else. You yourself blew it, and you did something you shouldn't have done, and you yourself, you were the one that reached up and took those dreams and pulled them down, and you were the ones that demolished those air castles. You did it yourself, but let me tell you, God still loves you.
I'll go a step further, but the house still loves you too. Now I'll go a step further. Every single real New Testament Christian still loves you too. Doesn't matter why you're hurt. The Savior's concerned because you're hurt. If you're His child this morning, He comes and says, I know you had some plans. I know you had some dreams. I know there was something in your life you'd planned to do. I know all about it. But He said, you blew it. But I still love you. Oh, I love that Sunday school lesson this morning. I love that Sunday school lesson. When God came to those people in bondage who were objects of God's chastisement and punishment and that God had to allow their city to be destroyed and the houses burned and the temple leveled and the walls leveled and sent them away to suffer for 70 years. And before they got to Babylon, God came along and said, my mercies are new every morning. Lord Jesus comes to you this morning. I'm not talking about those of you that have had a setback. I'm talking about those of you that will never get back where you were. Your dreams will never be fulfilled. Your hopes and plans have gone awry and there's no hope for you. Jesus in His resurrection body said, I've got a whole world of people I'd love to see on my trip to heaven. I've got a whole world of people that weep I'd like to weep with and mourn with whom I'd like to mourn and sorrow with whom I'd like to sorrow. But He said, no, the ones I'm going to spend the most time with are those two men who have no more plans. Their plans have been dashed. Their hopes have gone awry. And what they thought would happen in their lives will never happen now. I think this morning in my thought so much through the night of the dear Helia family. I'm not sure I know a more admirable family in this world than the Helia family. I'm not sure I know of a lady that has done as much to help people as Mrs. Healy has. Mrs. Healy gave her life years ago to be a foster mother. She's taken little boys and girls in her home who were crippled and hated and rejected and despised and unwanted, and she's reared those kids. I mean, oodles of them she's reared. And she's been a mother to them, and she's helped them. And I thought this morning, Chris, 18 years of age, I've talked to Ms. Healy. I know the dream she had for that boy.
I've talked to her. I know how she sacrificed to keep him alive. I pastored her through all those years. I know. Now all of a sudden, 18 years old, gone. I know where the Savior is this morning. He's out in Hessville. He's out to Healy's house. He's saying, Miss Healy, I love you. Mr. Healy, I love you. Some plans will never be fulfilled. Some dreams will never have fruition. Some hopes gone forever. Air castles gone. I have some dashed dreams as you do. I have some things that I dreamed about in my life. Some hopes and plans that will never be fulfilled. But I'd like to serve notice to you. Our Savior is wonderful in times like that. He comes and gives special attention to you. He loves everybody who has a tear. He loves everybody who has a burden. He loves everybody who has a heartache. But He has a special affinity and a special love to those. It'll never happen now. Dream all you want to, but the dream is gone. Hope all you want to, but the hope is gone. I want to tell you something. Follow me carefully. When those hopes are dashed, and those plans all of a sudden you realize will never be fulfilled, do you know what Jesus does? He gives you new hopes to take the place of the old hopes. And new plans to take the place of the old plans. And new dreams to dream that can be fulfilled. And new hopes that will reach fruition. And new plans that will be carried out. Let me tell you something. These fellows never dreamed they'd get to walk with Jesus. These fellows never dreamed that Jesus would eat in their house. Wouldn't it be something today for somebody to ring the doorbell, knock on the door, and you go to the door, and you see a couple of nail-scarred hands like that? Huh? Jesus says, could I come and eat with you? Some of you women would say, oh, the house is a mess. Can I come and eat with you? Oh, my soul. I got to tell you this. Our granddaughter graduated Friday night. And Mrs. Hiles is already in Texas visiting early, and I'm preaching in Atlanta, so I flew and preached the commencement address Friday night. And in all of these battles, Mrs. Hiles has just been a trooper. I mean, she's been as strong as you'd ever want to see anybody. And then my daughter told me, she said, Dad, you know the basement's flooded? And that got her. That's a woman, isn't it? I mean, standing against the wiles of everybody, but to the basement floor, oh, my soul, what am I going to do? But I worked my hand to the bone, had Randy come out and fix it. But anyway, I've had in my life some plans to go awry like you have. But I'm not going to major on that. I'm going to think about those plans I never had, those new things that God gave me and never dreamed of. I used to dream of pastoring a church. I used to dream of having a church all my own. I dreamed of someday having a church that had 100 people in it. Those were my plans. Look what God has given me through these years. Great churches to pastor. Those were not my plans. God said, I've got some plans that will never be fulfilled, but I've got some substitutes to give you that are more wonderful than that. I used to plan of someday preaching outside Texas just one time. I'd like to just go outside Texas one time and preach. And all across this country and around this world, I've preached through all these years. I remember I used to dream as a boy and boy preacher in Texas of someday attending a Sword of the Lord conference. I'd love to shake Dr. John Rice's hand one time and shake the hand of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and shake the hand of Dr. R.G. Lee, those men that preached in those days in sword conferences. I've had some dreams that were splattered.
some hopes that were ruined and destroyed. But for 22 years, I didn't only get to go to a SORT conference. I not only got to shake Dr. John Rice's hand, but I got to eat with him, share motels with him, be on conferences with him in every state in the Union just about, and in many foreign countries. Let me say this morning, if your plans have gone awry, and if your hopes are dashed, there's some things that you wanted in life you know for now you'll never have. Two things. The Savior gives you special attention today. He loves you in a special way. Number two, He has some new hopes for you that'll take the place of the old, and some new plans that'll take the place of the old plans. I guarantee you He does. All I'm saying is, in just another way this morning, we have a wonderful God and a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Would you bow your heads, please?